Attention, calling all whispering hunties. Oh, crrr.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Mijan, a semi-drag race expert.
And I'm Nick. I never watched it before, until now.
And together, we are Whispering Hunties. We're a podcast about global queer culture and drag race.
Check us out wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, Nick.
Hi, Mijan.
Do you know what today is?
Oh, it's July 20th, recording day. What's today? Tuesday.
It's our 1 year anniversary.
Oh my God.
We've been doing this for a year.
Wow, that's incredible. That's really incredible.
I cannot believe it. We
happy birthday.
We started on this journey, and I know this is our second podcast, but I never believed that we would be in
our first big girl podcast.
Oh, it's a big girl podcast. Big girl.
Yeah. We've got a lot of friends of the show now. We've made friends all over the world. Thanks to Queer Culture Drag Race, we've learned a lot. We've all helped each other get through this pandemic a little bit.
Let me tell you, this podcast has changed my life. So I'm going to tell you a little story about what happened this weekend. Mm-hmm. So I, you know how we had Cam last week? And yes. We're going to have probably both of the managers of Metropolitan on the podcast.
Amazing.
And so I'm always team humble. Like, I never want anything special, like, blah, blah. So I went to Metropolitan, and there was a huge line outside. Mm-hmm. And then Maddie, the manager, like, was like, no, honey, come with me. Pulled me out of the line and, like, let me into the bar.
Oh, that's amazing. He's, hey, look, perks. Perks,
yeah,
baby.
He is such a sweetheart. And you know what? Great. Like, the thing that we do on this podcast is that mm-hmm. we are celebrating queer people. We are celebrating mm-hmm. queer people who are working hard for the mm-hmm. community.
Yes.
And
tearing down a little bit the famous ones, but you know, they're helping the community too. it's just critiques, you know, that's all.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I just think that, like, you know, you give love, you get love back. And it was just, I was like, how did this happen? Like, who am I? I'm not VIP. No. I am not VIP, but I felt VIP.
Aren't you though?
Sometimes. Guess who I saw over the weekend, though?
Who?
Rosé and Candy Muse.
Oh, perfect. Out, oh, where?
Hanging out at the Rosemont, and Eddie was there. Eddie's so short, I didn't realize.
And then
I also ran into Nick Laughlin, mm-hmm. who unfortunately is not our guest today because Mercury's in retrograde, people. And
yeah, Mercury's in Gatorade. Nick Laughlin, we met doing improv and we've been trying to get him on the show for a while and we had to reschedule, but we will get him back. We keep being two ships passing in the night, but one of these days we will dock.
But you know, I think there's something poetic about having it just be the two of us because, you know, a year ago today,
wait a minute.
We did an episode that was called What's a Whispering Hunties? Mm. And we explained to people exactly what we are. And I think that in honor of this wonderful year and this mm-hmm. family that we've grown, I'm going to re-explain what a Whispering Huntie is.
Great.
So, once upon a time, there was a podcast called Bitch Sesh, and the fans of Bitch Sesh were called Whispering Aliens. And then, unfortunately, we had an election, and and basically, there were, like, regional aliens. So there was Brooklyn aliens, Manhattan aliens, like, everyone was, like, whispering everything. Mm-hmm. And then, during the election, all of the fans realized that some of them were Democrats and some of them were Republicans, and they started fighting. And so then there was a huge, like, epic, like, fight and, like, breakup. And all the whispering aliens started, like, breaking up, and it was all these Facebook groups. But
fans, the racism.
I know, but Whispering Aliens that were fans of Drag Race were called Whispering Hunties. And that is how our name was born.
Yeah.
And now
we took it and ran.
I know. But now I think Whispering Hunties are like something else, because like I keep telling the name to people and they really love it. And I think Whispering Hunties are people that like to kiki, people that are positive, people that are self-affirming, and people yes. that believe that everything's better when people win. And winning is relative. You know what I mean? It's not about winning. It's about when you own your truth, own your mm-hmm. power.
It's like a positive win. Person.
Yeah, a personal win. When people personally sure. win, that's who we are.
I love and, that.
Yeah, and that's what a Whispering Hunt is.
Very romantic. Yeah.
I know. In other news, by the way, I don't know if you know, but I'm a volleyball player and I hadn't played in over a year and a half and I was super afraid of doing it. But this weekend I went to Fire Island and I played in a volleyball tournament for mm-hmm. beach. And I won gold.
Gorgeous. Gorgina, next stop, Tokyo 2021 Olympic Games.
I know, who am
Good
I?
For and you. This is a qualifying round for that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm officially skinny again, so I'm really happy. the COVID curves have like started to leave my body, and yeah, I'm like sure. very excited about
Skinny's
it.
Skinny's a state of mind. You know.
I know. I'm
the
I'm
volleyball helps.
Well, no, because you've been working out so
skinny
much.
Skinny energy. Oh yeah, straight up. Yeah. Like so predictably in the high hundreds. That's been great for my brand. My plant Instagram. Everybody follow @grow_withnick. I'm okay. A plant guy.
Okay. Well, we have to get to the drag race, but I just want to say, if you've been listening to this podcast for more than a minute, thank mm-hmm. you so much. We
yeah,
are so glad to bring you this once a week. And we will continue.
Yeah, it's special that it's a little bit just us today for this little anniversary. That worked
Amazing.
Out.
Amazing. Yeah. So, if you would like, grab a snack. Sit back. Maybe take a little nibble. And get ready for some Whispering Hunties.
Hey there, Robo fans and Dino fans. Do you like science fiction? Do you like movies about robots and dinosaurs? Do you like podcasts that explore sci-fi philosophy through a fun and positive lens? Then you are going to love Robots vs. Dinosaurs. Every week, your host, Louis G, invites a guest onto the show to talk about one of their favorite sci-fi movies. It's a RoboCast. It's a DinoCast. It's a battle for ultimate awesomeness in science fiction pop culture. Subscribe to Robots vs. Dinosaurs on Apple, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. New episodes every Friday. Follow us on Instagram @RobosVDinos or Twitter @VersusRobots. That is @VSRobots.
Oh my God, Nick. I am loving my 5 = 10 athletic trunks with the dragon print.
Oh, yes, Mijan. I hear you. I got my bikini briefs on right now in the neon snake print, and they feel sexy. They look amazing.
If y'all don't know, 5 = 10 was started by 5 individuals to start a company with the sole purpose of creating better underwear for all men. And now they've expanded into athleisure for women. So we have a little bit of something for everybody in the most beautiful patterns, and they want to make a difference. So for every purchase that you make at 5 = 10, a 10% donation is made to charities that they partner with.
Yeah, isn't that incredible? I mean, they really want to make a difference. Combining premium products with philanthropy is in their DNA, and it's how 5 = 10 was created. So if you support this brand, you're also supporting those charities, which is fantastic.
Oh,
and we've got another special little draw for you, because we have our very first discount code.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And it's Hunties50,
yeah.
HUNTYS50. And you can use that for 50% off new arrival merchandise at 5 = 10.
I can get 50% off some expensive stuff. What?
You sure can. I mean, you're getting what you pay for, but this discount makes these fabulous high-end underwear all yours.
Look, it is Pride Month, and we are giving you what you need. So get yourself some 5 equals 10 and get out there and, you know, make a friend.
Mm-hmm. And as a bonus, they look even better on the floor.
That is very true. That is very true. I've tested out the 5 equals 10. I met a gentleman caller the other day and they were very impressed with, you know, my undergarments.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. This is my first pair and I can't wait to see who's going to see him first.
So get your underpants and get them on the floor and happy pride, y'all. Hunties 50 just for you. Mwah. Mwah.
So, welcome back to Cari Susurrantes.
Cari Susurrantes.
And this week we had the makeover challenge. And, mm-hmm. Oh my God, these Spanish men, I mean, they're short, but they are so sexy. Yes. Oh my God. That guy with the teeth?
Oh yeah, yeah. He was pit crew. I mean, he was so sexy.
Muscular,
big guy, and apparently a horse. So
I know, and I think he's the bottom too. So that's like really fun. Aww.
Wow, he's like a unicorn, a rare creature.
The way that he was acting on all those high heels, I was like, this guy's at least first because he's like down for anything. And
perhaps that is how it's presenting itself. I know. It was so funny. They were all so in love with him. I mean, I'm sure all of the world will be soon.
I mean, Killer Queen was just like, hi, what's up, uh-huh. How are you?
Because like, he was the same guy who just kept talking and talking and talking, isn't he? Wasn't that the same jock guy?
Yeah, he
just kept talking about the games.
And then Killer Queen was...
Uh-huh. Right.
And Carmen was definitely trying... Carmen was definitely trying to throw Killer Queen off because, you know, she was trying to distract. But no, I mean, so obviously, this is my least favorite episode of any RuPaul's Drag Race episode ever. I hate the makeover challenge.
I usually like it. The results are never what we all want them to be in most cases, but yeah, it's always fun, I feel like. Well,
because I feel like they always have this like stupid moment where like the guys have to walk in heels and I'm like, mm-hmm. someone just needs to tell them, walk on your tiptoes.
Yeah.
They're not meant to actually ever put a lot of weight on your heels.
Right,
you
right.
have to walk on your tiptoes. If you walk on your heels, you will fall.
Yeah, they have such a hard time conceptualizing it. Like, no, think about where your weight is landing on your foot.
It's also not that hard to walk in high heels. Like, I just don't understand how, like, no one's just like, okay, mm-hmm. walk on your tiptoes. That's mm-hmm. it.
But
don't put any weight on your heels.
They always get the baby giraffe footage. Always.
Baby giraffe. And it's just so annoying. But I did, and this is the thing that, like, I guess they didn't do it in Holland. Like, I was like, where are the gay sports teams? You know what I mean? Like,
oh, I know.
Like,
yeah.
Like, they did that in Australia, and it made it better. And I'm telling you, every single time that they bring on a gay sports team and they talk about toxic masculinity and about people finding community, it always makes it into a better episode. And then we actually get to learn.
Because it's actually heartwarming. It's nice. You get to see queer people, like, talking about communities they found rather than the traumas. Because we hear about that a lot, and like, I'm not discounting it, but it's like, it's more, I think, fun TV, rewarding TV to be like, it feels more community, you know, you're rooting for everyone.
And it was so nice to see like real men on Drag Race. It, like, we always like forget that, like, you know, like drag queens are a specific type of creature. So like, you know, there's like one body type. I mean, even if they're like skinny or brother, it's like, it's very like, then.
And then, the crew displaying something pretty narrow as well.
Yeah.
But these were like very, very different body type guys. And that's, I love that though, that a lot of the other seasons or other makeover challenges that we see, there are still kind of rigid body types or like they're easy to pair with people. But this one actually looked a little more challenging because there were a couple guys who were like real big guys and all these queens are really small. So I love when they have to work against their body type and things like that. It can be really fun. Like when season 13, when Gottmik and Candy crushed it. Like, I love that little challenge because you can really be pushed out of your comfort zone.
It shows the artistry, though, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, And I feel like that's why when they were like reading Killer Queen for like not hiding his padding, I was like, no, Killer Queen did an amazing job. Did you see how
they were kind of my favorite? I thought they looked kind of the best.
I don't think Harlan actually won today.
But like, I knew she'd be top three. I knew she'd be it.
Okay, but can we talk about how amazing it was to have Envy Peru?
I know. To bring Harlan back, that was great. And how perfect is that? It showed a little bit of like the possibilities of diversity with things like that. Because she's Spanish speaking in Holland. And then it was just so perfect. So perfect. And I wish Rue would like open the gates to more queens just being on that panel. Like Big Frida got to do it. But that was a little bit different situation, but still.
Oh, no, but Big Frida's like a collaborator through, so that's like for so sure. different.
Yeah.
But like, could you imagine if like, I mean, yes, and they let like Brooklyn Heights like come back and be like a lip sync assassin, but could you imagine if some of the big queens came back and got to be on the panel?
That would be so cool, but Rue just doesn't want to elevate them like that. Like, they're her girls, and she'll bring them in, like with Alyssa doing choreography, maybe Laganja doing choreography. They'll do things like that, but never, like, you're not going to be sitting up here with me and Michelle. No.
She's so selfish. But I'm telling you, like, it was so good. And you know what's really funny? So Envy Peru is, like, obviously a perfectionist and like, you know, is a queen. Like, I mean, she's la reine, you know? But it was so funny seeing her see Carmen because, I mean, this whole season we've been saying like Envy Peru and Carmen are like sisters.
Oh, completely. They're I think very similar in that they're good at everything and gorgeous. Yeah. So they are sisters in that way.
It paid off.
I thought it was great. Envy totally loved her. I thought that was
no, but Envy looked at her and she's like that one.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like
she's a shoo-in. I mean, she's going to be crowned.
And it was like Envy Peru saw her and she's like, you're on my level, bitch. What's that? Did you saw those vibes, right?
Oh, completely. I mean, like it was like, I don't know, a tiger seeing its reflection. It was like you could see in the wild, it meets us, and you know, it was very much like I recognize this game, recognize game. That's what it is.
Game, recognize game.
It was beautiful. I mean, and Carmen, this has been much like Envy and much like Simone, in my opinion. Yeah. Aside from being in the bottom two twice, like a celebratory run, or I guess maybe a better option is maybe like Bob or Violet, like. You're witnessing a celebratory run. Those don't happen all the time.
I know, but I mean,
and Carmen has been that way, and Envy was that way. So,
No, and here's the thing. Like, I just kind of feel like Carmen Farala, she's served it. She's just been excellent.
And has displayed her kindness, like, every turn.
And I think that there was a really magical moment when Davina had just left and Carmen was reflecting on how Davina had affected her, because they really have gotten very close. And she's like, I want to win now.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And you saw that fire in her. Yeah. And you were like,
she learned that personal attachments are a weakness. No. She was like, well, this is some fire. This is like a little bit of heartbreak that's like, well, no, nothing's in my way.
And you know, and I think the funniest thing is, you know how we suffered from Down Under, really.
Tough.
I feel like this crowning is gonna feel like Christmas.
Yeah. Because you know she's been so wonderful on the show.
It's going to feel so good.
You know, the whole deal.
Okay, but we also have to talk about this thing that happened, which I think is really another example of how amazing this TV show is. Mm-hmm. So we had this, and you know, we've been talking about how there's like a lack of diversity on España,
yeah,
because everyone is Spanish and besides Indy. But today we had an Asian man who is Spanish speaking on the show, which was amazing.
Yeah.
And then we really got to highlight a lot of the violence that's happened against AAPI people because of coronavirus. And
moment very shameful
was so powerful
and
so incredible. And to see to see this Asian man rise above, like to rise above being battered. Like, I mean, like literally he was like, I saw them, they accused me basically of like spreading coronavirus, and then they like attacked me and I woke up the next day. But to see him come back and to, you know, get in drag probably for the first time and to feel so confident and loved and to know that like this was a really big moment for him, but also to see the way that Supreme and the judges really rose to the challenge of like helping him with that moment. I was like, God damn it.
We're both so supportive. Totally beautiful. And like, it was a chance to highlight the intersectionality that isn't talked about enough and never will be talked about enough. That it's not just the dangers queer people face, but queer people of color all over the world. And that's totally unacceptable. But yeah, everybody was so, so supportive and receptive. And that's healing. And we love to see it. It's another highlight of a great season.
No, but I mean, for me, this was like, it was literally one of my favorite episodes, even though
The makeover challenge that you
do. I hate a makeover challenge. Into. I hate a makeover challenge, but this was like the only makeover challenge that I ever enjoyed because they healed racism. They were inclusive. And you know what? No one was mean.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like really nice. It was truly entertaining, fun, on the light side. And it was just great. They truly were having a good time. And have you ever seen them have any season have this much fun when going from the top four to the top three? I mean, like, no, right? unless it's like one of the seasons where they like, get to go to the finale. And then he's like, oh, really? But that's so fake. Yeah.
They actually get along besides the fact that, like, obviously, I mean, Carmen, you know, she's really nice, but she knows her worth. So there was that funny moment where Carmen was like, no, I am better than you.
I mean, hey, let's look at the facts.
No, and it's like, I believe if you're cocky, it has to be like, you have to be worth it. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, you got to back it up or else.
Yeah.
It's a joke.
Yeah. No, so like, so this weekend when I was playing volleyball and I won, I played really well. Mm-hmm. And then after the match, this guy came up to me and he's like, oh my God, like you've just gotten so much better. You played so well. And I was like, I've always been this way. I was just playing
with people. Sorry, you just found out.
I was like, I always knew I was good at volleyball, but like, don't come up to me and be like, this is a fluke. I was like, I beat you. So sit down.
Anyway. Also though, it was a compliment. I mean, he's being nice.
No, but that was a backhanded compliment. I don't like backhanded compliments. That was
rude. Okay.
Okay, but can we also talk about this one moment where Killer Queen said something that I want to carry for the rest of my life?
Oh, yeah, what's that?
Killer Queen said, what really matters is smiling at the world. What matters is not looking like or being someone, but making someone smile.
Yeah, I love that too.
I was like, Killer Queen, I hope you're on Drag Race International because you could win. And
I'm anxious to see.
If Carmen can't get it, Killer Queen has to get it. And Sagittaria will just like have to wait another time, you know?
Sagittaria is super talented. I thought her makeover was awesome. I was like, very on board for somebody so young to be that skilled. Always very impressive.
She's just green.
But I'm like, She's not gonna.
She's not ready.
She's not gonna get it. No.
Yeah.
And Killer is an easy second for me. Like if Carmen weren't here, I would want it to be Killer.
It would be Killer Queen. Killer Queen is a star.
She's been
Killer Queen
is
She's been incredible, and she's she shouldn't be Killer Queen. She should be like Chameleon Queen, because she can be
anything. Chameleon Queen. Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Well, she's gonna be on Holland 3, so.
Wait, but can we also talk about the bamboozlement of this triple lip sync at the end? Like, what was that?
Oh, I know. That felt like a real gag. Like, they truly were not expecting that.
I was like, are we not good
enough? It actually felt like a surprise.
It was a surprise. And I was like, why are they doing this? This is so wrong. Like, Killer Queen definitely was in the final. It was like, what was her name?
Yeah.
Remember when like Envy Fru was like the first, the final, and then like we had to wait until like the second person got there?
Right.
Who was the second queen?
It doesn't matter anymore.
No, but I mean, like honestly, in Holland, there was a final two, and then there was Abby. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Where you could kind of just, you could tell they weren't gonna.
Exactly. So, but like this is the situation where it's like it's definitely Carmen and Killer, and like that's it. Like anyone else that shows up is just extra, you know. But it's, I mean, could they have done a top four? Could they have done like a
no, not with what Poopy did. Sorry, not allowed. I love her so much. I think she's hilarious. She's been so fun. But baby, her drag, no way.
That was so shady.
No way.
I mean, okay.
Not her drag, baby. Not that makeover. Not that not that garbage bag of a sweater.
You know what really made me upset? What made me upset about that outfit was that...
And her makeup on the guy? Oh, my God. Horrible.
The makeup was bad.
Love you. Can't do it.
The makeup was bad. And honestly, like, he should have... The guy that was put into drag should have been wearing a short skirt.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why there was that nasty, like...
They were like cheerleaders from the 40s.
I know. And then the funniest thing was Envy Peru's reaction to that outfit, just being like...
Yeah. It was one of those times where it was like, Poopy, do you give a... Because this is top four. You obviously don't care. You don't care. You're like, whatever. She doesn't care. And I love that about her. That's very strong. It's like Ginny Lemon energy, but of somebody who's like interested in being there at all.
Yeah.
And Ginny wasn't, but she just doesn't care. She does. She's just like, whatever. I'm just fucking around.
It was very Ginny Lemon energy. And look, like, you know, drag queens don't need to be pretty, but there needs to at least be like
effort.
A minimum.
She truly was like dressing up. She was pantodame. She's a pantodame queen. Like that's her energy.
But even
pantomimes, I'm somebody's dad.
Even pantomimes look better than that. So yeah. I mean, I hate to say this, but that outfit was a hate crime, because that poor gay man just wanted to feel fabulous and he looked like a school teacher. Yeah. Oh, Poopy. But Poopy can also be
a
diverse international. Yeah. Poopy's a star. Poopy's
She's
a star.
Great. Because she does English. Does English. She speaks English. I'm thinking that English speaking is going to be like a barrier to international all-stars. I think they're going to really try to just focus on English speakers. Hopefully they still will be like in Spain queens, Holland queens.
I mean,
everybody in Holland speaks English, though, pretty much.
But International All-Stars is going to be amazing. They're going to have,
I can't wait. It's going to be so cool.
They're going to have all the judges from the other seasons. So, like, the Thai judges, all of them, all together.
It's going to be such a celebration.
Brooklyn's going to do it. It's going to be so good. Okay.
I love that we have all this Drag Race to, like, talk about and even more coming. Because it's, like, I know it's overwhelming if you, like, do any kind of coverage on it.
Yeah.
But it's, like, I don't know. It's so fun. It feels like a celebration of the whole world. I don't know.
I know.
Is that okay to be sincere about that?
We are a global podcast. So I'm actually really excited. So listeners, we are going to be partnering with Knapp House again. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to have our little like Knapp House advertisements because, you know, we're going to be talking with Dutch Queen soon.
Hell
so,
yeah.
I mean, we're just going to keep traveling and maybe I'll learn a little Dutch for this next situation.
We could.
Yeah. Okay. So
figure out what whispering hunties and Dutch is. Whispering hunties?
Yeah, but no, Carmen, I hope you win. I just
oh yeah.
Time.
It's yeah, okay. For sure.
Yeah, yeah.
And then come hang out with us in New York with your prize money.
You know what? Carmen needs to come hang out and do some things. Yeah. Although Carmen's more your type than my type. But Carmen's pretty sexy. Yeah, okay. Let's take a quick break and then come back and talk about All-Stars.
Let's do it.
So welcome back to Whispering Hunties, and we're going to talk about All-Stars. Nick. Or Gloria, if your name is
sure sound can, today.
Can we get a whole story report?
Oh, of course. We return to our coverage on All Star 6. We're fresh off the elimination, or rather the see you soon in the mystery game, of Jada Sophia. Counting the votes, everyone saw the fight in Akiria, yet Jan saw the fight in Yara. But if we roll back the tapes, it's clear to see how the conversations were imbalanced. Call me a Jan stan if you want, but I just believe in fairness. However, she went off track record anyway. The challenge is honoring red table talk with a pink table and having a deeper conversation on given topics. The queens pick their teams, pick their topics, and get ready. Trinity and Eureka and Akiria on Team Sex have a joyous, positive chat with plenty of depth and educational perspectives we don't get often enough. Kylie, Scarlett, and Raja on Team Motherhood bring incredibly diverse perspectives with a lot of heart. And finally, Jan, Pandora, and Ginger on Team Body get tender with body issues. I value the things they were saying, but they definitely had the least cohesive vibe. Rue looks fantastic as she brings us to the runway, where the category is Clash of the Patterns. My favorite clashing looks came from Trinity, Raja, Kylie, Scarlett, and Ginger. Team Sex rightfully wins the challenge, but Ginger Minj on Team Body was the top all-star? Okay, interesting. And Kylie, Jan, and Scarlett land in the bottom. Alexa, play Gaslighter by the Chicks. Ginger will be facing off against Bianca Del Rio. Just kidding. She's just here for a quick paycheck. Mayhem Miller is the real lip sync assassin, but Ginger prevails and shares the wealth with her teammates. The lipstick she chooses belongs to Scarlett, and I'm super not okay with this. It's obvious she's a huge threat, but what can you do? The mystery game remains afoot. I see no justice in the world, and that's the whole story.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, we need to just, like, I know that, like, normally we talk about the beginning of the episode, like, blah, 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 but we need to talk about this.
Well, we gotta talk about the Elim, honey.
They got rid of Scarlet? Scarlet Envy?
Now I know who want to win the spot back in the mystery game, because this was, sorry, everybody, excuse the French, but f***ed up.
This was really messed up. I'm sorry.
This was not...
Scarlett has been nothing but drag excellence for this whole entire time.
Seriously.
Literally, for them to get rid of Scarlett is because they're jealous and they're scared. Yeah. Because Scarlett Envy has been serving it. And, I mean, obviously, she was a little bit in her feelings because she was in the bottom, like, blah, blah, blah. But I'm telling you, that should not have happened. Like...
Yeah, this is crazy.
Yeah. It's like, it's just...
I don't know. Did you think that's what Ginger was going to do? I knew Ginger was going to win the lip sync because, like, the way that they handed her this win, and, like, forgive me for whatever, they handed her this win, and I don't think she won the challenge.
No, she did not. She did
not at all. Not at all. It was very weird, and it was, like, total, like,
and they gave her the shenanigans song tomfoolery. To lip sync, too. Yeah, it was, like, the bamboozle right? Not at all. And, like,
no,
like,
it was such tomfoolery because, like, okay, I thought whenever we did team challenges, we were always judged as teams.
Team would win.
Excuse me?
The team would win.
Yeah, Eureka should have won one because she was, like, we all know that moderating was, like, a little bit step up for the challenge, and Eureka did a great job, and Team Sex had the best conversation. And so... And that's honestly, what should have like, happened. That it was honestly, crazy.
It was one of those challenges where like everyone did well. Like even the yeah. things that they were like criticizing.
Even Team Body
people,
wasn't bad.
Yeah.
I thought they were the worst conversation. But they weren't bad.
But they were all good. Like all the conversation was amazing.
Mm-hmm. It's just that Jan and Pandora were both not good. Ginger was good / fine. The two of them brought it down. Jan and Pandora. I think Jan was rightfully in the bottom. I think Pandora should have been in the bottom and not Scarlett. Like if they want to do bottom three and not judge as teams in this whole thing, which like who knows why they even did that.
Yeah.
Because I think they just wanted to hand Ginger a win. That's it. They wanted the 30,000 to go to somebody they felt comfortable with winning it, who hadn't won something yet. They don't want to repeat wins too much for girls point. There's still too many girls. They're not going to repeat wins. It just was very narrative structured, very down under vibes, but being way better than down under. But you know what I mean? Like, it just was like, they should have been judged as teams. If they're not going then it should have been Pandora in the bottom, not Scarlett.
Exactly. And that first conversation was off the chains fabulous. Just like, it was so easy.
Right out the gate.
Like you're making those horse just killing it. Like, it was just, I was like, I want this TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I wanted to watch that TV show. I wanted.
It was very good.
Like the three of them should just be kikiing, like, and just record. They could talk about anything. They're like the new Katya and Trixie.
Right.
It was so fun.
It was great. They did a great job.
I was like, and they didn't win? Like, what is... I'm telling you, it's like Bamboo's Lament. Like, we're like, literally... So, like what you said, it's like, we're being gaslit to believe that Ginger somehow, like, squished out this win.
She didn't do better, is the thing.
And, like...
If she really won, then the whole team should have been good enough. Like...
Yeah.
And it just wasn't. Jan and Pandora really brought it down.
And then the funniest thing about it was even Ginger was surprised. She was like, what?
Yeah, which is wild. It's very nice of her to give some money to her teammates, but like I would have done that too, but well, maybe, I don't know, but but like it's just breathe. The judging on this was...
I can't
yeah.
I cannot even breathe because like literally like even she was shocked that she won. She was sitting there being like, what, like I won, like
yeah,
what do you mean? I mean, I will say that I've never
after they announced it. Yeah, go ahead.
I've never considered what's her face, a lip sync assassin. So that was a shocker.
Mayhem.
Yeah, never. Like,
yeah,
she's good, but she's not an assassin.
They were searching for girls that time.
I think it was just whoever was in California. Because if you haven't noticed, like Bianca W. Looks like, you know, everyone's been like very LA.
Yeah. Yeah.
Besides Brooklyn. Yeah, but like, I mean, Ginger definitely won the lip sync, but she did not win the challenge. And that's why I'm like, I feel gaslit.
I don't know. I just hate when the veil is so thin. Like, we know it's a show. We all know it's a show. We all know decisions are being made.
Yeah.
But when it's really obvious and really flies in the face of what actually freaking happened in the episode and like who actually did not a great job, it's like you can't edit your way out of that.
No.
It's like, no, the footage you got from the queens is what you got from the queens. There's no way to spin. Like, you know, I hate when they just force it and it's so obvious that it was like, well, we're doing something different this week.
But
we are not judging it the same.
But I really have to say that, like, it seems as if the wins are very choreographed.
That's a huge part of it.
Do you know what I mean? Because, like, I mean, obviously last week we all saw the excellence, the drag excellence that was Trinity as Beyonce. Mm-hmm. And that was worthy of a win. Did she win? No.
To the point where, like, I'm happy for Jan, but then Jan's performance this week makes it like, this isn't... What?
It wasn't that bad. I think
this isn't... Jan's performance this week?
I think
she was very off-putting.
No,
she made me uncomfortable.
Oh, my God. Well, no, but here's the thing. So this is why we need to actually get Nick Lawson on the pod, because he's, like, worked with Jan. Drag Race doesn't like Jan.
Yeah.
Some producer, some judge is just like, Jan, we don't like you, but we're going to keep putting you on so we can like put you down. And I think that this is a hate crime because all Jan wants to be is a successful drag queen. And all that Drag Race will do is to just make fun of her. And it's weak. Do you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like, they're like,
I think enough people love her. I mean, I think, you know.
Jan is incredibly talented. Jan is a performer. I believe in Jan. I don't think Drag Race believes in Jan.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Definitely. She's getting a tough shake.
Well, because, like, they'll let her win last week. And then this week, they're like, oh, no, you're fake.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and she's like, I don't know what I need to do.
That's tough. And when she was crying and she was like, I don't know what to tell you. It hurts because like that is who I am. And I think I definitely hear that I've been like, not liked by some folks for if I present like a very excited side of myself or something. People are very annoyed by things like that sometimes. And I think that keeps happening to Jan. And that's tough to see because I don't think she's being anything but herself. I don't read fakeness into her stuff. I did a little bit on her season, but I think she's gotten better.
I agree.
I think it's like that's just a tough personality type because people are gonna read it that way. People are not used to people actually being that high energy, so they think that she must be putting it on.
If she would just learn to dial it down 50%.
Well, I mean,
so effective.
Yeah, that's what people keep telling her, but obviously it's not working and that's not who she is. Cause like she can't do it. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying that like
she can't.
People should stop telling her to stop to like tone it down, I guess. I don't know. But like if she could work on some things just to make that energy a little more worth it, or make that energy a little more like focused on something that would be more engaging with people. Because it's just how it connects with people now is a little off-putting, obviously, because that's the connection it's having. Well, so maybe if she was funnier, I think if she spit out a few more punchlines, I just don't think she's like a super funny person.
Yeah, she's not funny.
And I think if she could bring that high energy to like comedy, she could really have something, but she's just not that funny. And you don't have to be that funny. That's just not her thing. She keeps coming off as like bop, 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 bop.
Yeah.
So it's like, girl, but you're not making us laugh.
Well, because here's the thing.
It'd be easier to take if it was funny.
And we've talked about this before. If you're not funny and you're a drag queen, I'm really worried because that's the whole thing. And you know, I'm sure I've never seen Jan live, but I'm sure that like live with a microphone and that hyperactive, like in front of a crowd, phenomenal. Do you know what I mean?
Because
she can like interplay off that and she'll always have a lot of energy and like blah, 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 and she'll like death drop and everything and she can dance. But like on camera, it's just like, you just need to be funnier. I think that for Drag Race, you have to be able to like luxuriate in yourself. And I love that word because it really means about like slowing down, being sexy, you know, and like letting us like, you know, when a drag queen is like really, really like in it, it's like you're like, eat it. You know what I mean? Just like, you're just like you just want more. And so I went to a drag show over the weekend and it was an amateur show. And there was just something about a drag queen that can take like a slow song and just make you like digest it. And I feel like that's what Jan's missing. She just needs to like, she needs the hyper for when she needs it. And then take it down.
Yeah.
Hold the stage. Hold that moment. Feel the fantasy or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And like make us love you. Mm-hmm. Not because
command it. Yeah.
You know, like you need to command people's respect. And that's what I think she's missing. She's not commanding respect. Because respect
is a bit of an eagerness that comes across that I think people are like, you keep asking us to like you. You keep being like, look at me, look. You know?
Yeah. And it's
and like, that's a little like maybe insecure to people.
And literally perhaps. No one likes that person. Do you know what I mean? Like no one likes the person that's trying to look for everyone's approval. The people that people like are the people who are like, I'm hot.
I know, because I've been it, you know?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like... And like, I mean, I tell this to myself all the time, you know, I'm like 6'4", verse, black, you know, like I walk into some spaces and I'm invisible because racism. But I'm telling you, when I own my truth, my power, I'm like one of the hottest people in the room just because I'm like feeling myself. Do you know what I mean?
Confidence.
But like, you have to not ask for people to respect you. You have to respect yourself. And I just don't feel like that's what's coming across on screen. But I also think it's because the producers do not like her.
Yeah.
Carson has said so many shady things about Jan. Like, I'm just like, you do not like her. Like, you know, just say you don't like her and like, that's it. You know what I mean? Like, it's like Olivia last, like, remember like last season? How like, I literally just did not like Olivia. And then like, and it was Jada Valenciaga. She was on the podcast and she was like, just say you don't like her. Like, just say you don't like her because everything that's coming out is negative from your mouth. And you just need to accept that you do not like this person. And I'm telling you, the producers do not like Jan. And that is the tragedy because Jan.
Yeah, it seemed like last week they were turning a corner, but here we are again.
Yeah, but I mean, Jan looked phenomenal.
On the runway?
Yeah, I think she looked
Clashing Pattern?
Oh, not the Clashing Pattern, but when she was on the panel. It's one of the best looks I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah, she looked cute. Like, it was like a pop star look. I really liked that.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a look that she looks great like that.
I don't know. She, like, is this close to, like, figuring out what she wants to do, but she's here only a year later, so.
I know. I think she needs more time. But I mean, but Jan is going places.
She looks great.
She's not saying
she looks great. She turns looks.
But too many with no point of view.
It's like I can't look at something and be like, oh, that's a Jan look. Like
yeah.
I can't do that.
I've now realized
what a Jan look is.
So
the pop star stuff, she gets close when she's this like neo pop star. I love that.
No,
that's my favorite Jan.
So, the thing that confuses me about Jan is that, you know, she does too much, so, like, it's not specific.
Yes.
But Jan is who she was on that panel. Like, the hair, the pop star, kind of like Britney Spears-ish type of thing, that's Jan. To me, that's, like, the best that she's looked. When she tries to be, like, an artsy queen, I'm like, no, you're not. You know?
Yeah, she shouldn't lean into that. It's like, it seems like a young queen slash... God, like I should talk.
She's not a look queen.
It seems like it's a young queen habit of being like, I'm doing a few years on, that's all.
Yeah.
But like, I'm doing all of these different things so they see versatility, but that's like a wrong interpretation of your own drag. Oh, like the girls who try to do that, it seems like they have a lot of resources, but they're still early in the game.
Yeah.
Because they are showing you, I can do all of this, but then nothing is like you.
Yeah.
Because you haven't found that voice through your
and
look.
You just have to have a point of view.
With your experience.
Exactly.
Yeah, a point of view. Yeah.
A point of view. And that's
she doesn't have that yet. And that's not a read. It's just how it's where her drag's at. But that's why it's so non-specific.
But she's so talented. And I'm telling you, Jan is
of course.
The 11 o'clock number drag queen.
You know, she damn got on a damn drag damn TV show. That's, you gotta be amazing to even do that.
I know, she's amazing. But, okay, so we talked about Ginger's bamboozlement. We talked about Jan because, Lord, help us all.
She could have gone home this week and I would have been fine with it, her Pandora. And I say that as part of the, as a Jan stan. I'm part of the Jandom.
I'm feeling the Jantasy.
But Pandora should have gone home then because... She should have been in the bottom.
She was so verklempt.
Nobody's going to vote for Kylie. Keep her in the bottom. I don't care.
Oh, my God.
If you need to have her in the bottom this week, get some fire. But she, like, did great. And then nobody's going to vote for her.
No, I think Kylie needs to, like, go all the way. She's really grown. Like, we need...
Yeah, I think she's doing awesome. And she seems like a really good person.
We need this trans woman in this TV show. And if they get rid of her, I'm going to be really upset. Because she's trying her darndest. And she will never be loud. It's just not
She's an awesome queen, so...
But I also thought that, like, this is also the Gaslit tree. When she rose to the moment to comfort Raja during that conversation... I was like, this is so beautiful. This is so amazing.
She was a mom in that moment.
She was a mom, you know? And like, but also, I have to say, all three conversations were epic and amazing and so healing. So like all of these problems that queer people face were talked about. Family, body, ageism, all this stuff were really processed in a really mature manner. And it shows you how amazing these queens are. These people can actually go out and change people's lives.
Just good challenge.
I hope they do this
and they can change people's lives. Yeah, we're seeing deep sides of them. And like, that's why I love this challenge, because it's like, it showed a deeper side to it. And it elevated how we can look at drag queens, how people can see this show and be like, oh yeah, okay, cool. Oh, I could listen to deep talks from drag queens if people don't already.
That's all I
want. Yeah, it was cool. And it was a great challenge. This season is like, All Stars, they're really putting in some like, thought into these challenges.
Well, it was a brand new challenge. We'd never seen it before, and we want it again.
Yeah, same thing with the Super Bowl deal. Like they're pulling out some stops. I like it. Yeah, there's a bit more programming, a little bit more behind the scenes with the way some of them are crafted, but it's not a huge deal. It's cool.
I know. But I mean, okay, so at this point, we have no idea who's going to win. It doesn't even matter. Mm. They've all won, and we still don't know what this stupid twist is. Are they just going to, eliminate everyone and then bring them back? Like, who knows?
Is it the same thing they've done before, where it's, like, it's only one episode of one person getting their spot back? Yeah. It's just that they're giving us a hint of it every episode. It could be as small as that. That's what it is. Bigger case scenario, maybe we get it remains a longer season like season 13 was.
Yeah.
But it puts this game within a game. Maybe there's like three episodes just of that or something that's like that a longer. Cool. Which that would be cool, because then it would make it like a tiny little loser's bracket tournament within Drag Race. And that would kind of elevate Drag Race and make it a little bit more like a sport.
We are waiting for the loser's bracket. I want the
loser's bracket. That's kind of sick. That's kind of a cool idea. Because it'd get us to spend more time with them, see more of what they've got, and then somebody gets their spot back. Like, that would be dope, and I hope it's Scarlett. Because this was freaking messed up.
Oh my god. Okay, well, Scarlett, our thoughts and prayers. You had better be back on this TV show, because I need more Scarlett envy. In fact, I'm just gonna go like spend like 20 minutes on her Instagram like right now.
She's top four. She's top four, baby.
She's top four material.
I don't know. She's been super consistent, and Ginger has sometimes been not spotty. Been good.
Been spotty. Yeah, yeah.
So
so we're not.
So that was messed up. And like, it sucks that Ginger like made that choice, but like, what was she gonna do?
At least
she's not gonna send Jan home.
At least she donated money to other people. Anyway, but so y'all, this has been our anniversary episode.
Yeah, hope you liked it. First birthday, hunties.
It's a birthday, hunty. Nick, I just want to take just a second to say that it's been an amazing year with you, and it's been an amazing over 2 years that we've been podcast buddies.
Yeah,
and we've both been through a lot. You know, I used to live in a terrible neighborhood, and now my life is en fleek in Brooklyn. And you've been transitioning personally as well.
This is not a gender announcement, everyone. Transitioning as in
your personal life.
Other just big changes in my life. Becoming single after 8 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Becoming a zaddy.
Someone I was engaged to. That's working the biggest out, change, I guess.
Working out. Sorry.
A lot of self growth.
Yeah, a lot of muscle. But I just want to say that, like, I'm so glad that when I decided to text you and say, hey, can we bring the podcast back? You were like, oh, hell yeah. And that type of, like, yes and behavior and the generosity of spirit is something that I look for so much in life, and I rarely find. And I just am so grateful for you in my life. And you know, I hope year two is like just as fabulous, if not more.
Yeah, no, for sure. Looking forward to it. Thank you so much. I've enjoyed doing this. It's been a lot of fun and a lot of learning.
We learned a lot.
It's been great. I'm very grateful for it as well. I value it, because it's been a something, a creative through line that's kept me doing something at least a little bit creative over the past year, which was a hard year personally, of course, as we talked about, and a hard year for the planet.
The war.
So, yeah, it's been great to stay consistent on something that through the ups and downs of everything that we at least have stayed consistent on a project like this. Like, that feels very cool. I'm very proud of us for doing that. I'm very happy that even though our mission, our background on this has changed, our intention with it and all that, it's evolved, and I've become a huge fan from knowing nothing.
I know.
So I credit you with finally being the push to get me into it, because drag is amazing. I've always loved drag, but the show has been an eye-opener in a lot of ways. So thanks for getting me into it.
So 1 year later, how amazing is it that you went from being like a Drag Race nothing to a Drag Race everything? Mm-hmm. And now like, I'm not even the expert. Like, you bring up references and it is so funny.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, y'all just try something new, say yes to life. And,
I dare you.
but you know, we are Cari Susurrantes. We are here for you. To lift you up, to make you kiki, to make you laugh, and we'll be here for another year.
Yeah, baby. So keep listening in, keep traveling the world with us until we can do it in person.
Oh my God.
And if you're out there and you feel like talking to us, please talk to us. You know how. You know how.
Follow us on Spotify. Send us messages. You know, like,
tell us what kind of stuff you want to see us do.
I know. Yeah.
Should we do makeup? Should we do videos? What are we doing? What are we doing lives?
And
on stages, what are we doing?
And get yourself a pair of 5 = 10 underwear on us, Hunty.
Yeah, our first sponsor.
And pretty soon we're gonna have another fashion person on the pod, Walton, who has a brand called BIPOC, and it's BUYPOC. So he'll be on, and we'll have even more fashions for you. But until next week, just live life, love, own your greatness, and demand respect.
Like, no one's watching.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen to podcasts like no one's seen your search history.
All right. So we love you. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Whispering Hunties is not endorsed by Lord Wonder, VH1, ICOM, Great Canada, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. We involve Drag Race and Canada Drag Race, and all names, pictures, audiences, are related to trademark and or copyright, their respective copyright holders.
Thanks for listening to the Apocalypse Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, go to apocalypsepodcastnetwork.com. And remember, every time you support one of our sponsors, you're supporting the podcast you just heard.